Automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet, I climbed down up inside. Choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and I am in charge of the classroom for the next hour. If you have a car question or car problem, folks, now's the time to call. And that's because it gets kind of busy. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Those of you in the outlying areas, 888-960-9696. 888-960-9696. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located on the south side of Main Street, just east of Stapley in Mesa, right in the heart of Mesa. Thompson's been in business since 1970. They're equipped to handle all major and minor repairs on all kinds of cars, foreign, domestic, motorhomes, everything. They're a AAA approved shop. And an ASC Blue Seal shop means that the overwhelming majority of your technicians are master techs. And he is an ASC Blue Seal shop. He's also on the TechNet Council, which helps create rules and boundaries for our industry and helps us work with our vendors. Thompson's Auto was named Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, and I'm proud to have them on my best car list. And like many of the shops on my list, it's a husband and wife, Brian and Thelma. And you won't meet nicer folks than Brian and Thelma. And actually, I think they're second generation of running Thompson's Auto Repair. So it's a great place. 602-508-0960. This week, we had a Jeep in. And we get lots of these. You know, I've had a tough time. I'm going to kind of synopsize it. I've had a tough time getting my car fixed. Many have tried and couldn't. And when I hear that, I kind of shudder, because that puts a lot of pressure on us and any other shop for that matter. It just puts pressure on the shop. But that's part of the story, and it's something that you should share. The most important thing is if we can duplicate the problem. Now, I can't
caller Marty.
I can't tell you how many times you can't duplicate the problem. I'm struggling right now with a vibration, and we've arranged to have the customer and take a ride with us again. But it's just very difficult. It's just something that you shouldn't lose your temper over. It's something that you should communicate well with the shop. But in this particular case, we were blessed because the car would do it, and it was a Jeep Cherokee. And it would just simply die for no reason. So Nick, the tech, hooked up a scanner, and as he drove around, he noticed that just before the engine died, all the sensors went dead underneath the hood. Now, the computer's going to have a 5-volt wire that hopscotches from sensor to sensor to sensor to sensor. We're going to give all those sensors 5 volts. The sensor's going to talk to the computer by sending back voltage. So if the sensor gets 5 volts and the throttle is closed, it's at idle, the computer will get 1 volt. As you increase the throttle, it goes 1.5, 2, 2.5, 3. But in reality, it stops at every tenth or hundredth of a volt. So you climb all the way up. So 5 volts means the throttle. If the computer gets 5 volts, it means the throttle is wide open. If the computer gets 0.8, 0.9 volts, it means the car's idling. But he noticed that the 5-volt reference just disappears. So he goes to the computer, and he finds out it's coming out of the computer appropriately. And as he drives around, he sees it's coming out, but it's not getting to the sensors. So in between where it's coming out and where the sensors start feeding, being fed by this, is about 4 feet of wire harness. So he takes a jumper wire, and he goes from one from the harness, from the computer, and he jumps about 2 feet. And then all of a sudden it's better. But it's not perfect. So he takes it the entire 4 feet. He goes from the computer all the way to the end. He tags it. He's driving around with this extra wire in there, and everything's fine. So he takes the wire out, and now he has the car running, and he takes the harness and he moves it left and right. He pinches it up and down, and he can get the car to die just by playing with the wire harness. So clearly we have a bad connection. So I don't know about the rest of the shops in town, but I suspect it's 50-50. Half of us are going to dig that loom out and find the bad wire and replace it, and the other half are just going to bypass it and save you some money. It's just up to you. This customer said, you know, just bypass it. So we just clipped it to the computer, the PC, and we went to the lead we knew was good, and then we just taped it to that harness. And then we put a little note on the work order that says, hey, that wire is the 5-volt reference. You'd think that that was a whole lot of money, but I always tell you that the diagnostic process is oftentimes $75 to $150, and sometimes the repair is 5 cents or a dollar. Or $3, and sometimes the repair is $500 or more. This one was $109, the whole thing, because it took him about an hour to do it, and we're at $100 an hour. So that's kind of how it works. Marty, you're first up. I'm glad you called in. How can I help you today?
Hi, Mark. Yeah, I have a 05 Subaru Impreza with 96,000 miles, and I was changing the plugs. Three of them were okay, but the fourth one got about halfway out.
Okay.
And so I just put it back in. But I know it's the original plug because the other ones, like the electrodes, were almost all burnt off.
Okay.
So I don't know if I should just be happy with 3 out of 4 or...
Come on, Marty. You're already there.
It's bad all night. I did it when it was cold. Should I warm it up a little and try it again? Or?
Okay, this is what's going on. You don't happen to have one of the 3 spark plugs in front of you, do you?
Not anymore, no.
Okay.
But the electrode, yeah, were almost burnt off out of 2 out of the 3 that I got out.
Okay. This is exactly the reason why most of the industry advocates that you do not pull the plugs at 100,000 miles, because by that time it's way too late. The 100,000 mile spark plugs is a marketing ploy. It's not the truth. So we say go do it at 75, but here's the problem with yours. Marty, I want you to tell me how many inches of thread are there on the spark plug? There's probably about a half an inch of thread. Would you agree?
Right.
The very last thread has a whole bunch of carbon on it. The last thread close to the electrode. Because the spark plug sticks through the combustion chamber just enough to where that last thread is covered up. So what happens is as you go to back it out, you're trying to clean that thread off at the same time. And that's going to be difficult. Whatever you do, don't muscle it out, because when you do, you're going to wreck the threads. So I bet you can get it maybe 1 or 1.5 turns out before it kind of clogs up. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. You got a couple of different things you can do. You can back it out, and then you can spray it with WD-40 every hour until you go to bed. And then Sunday morning, give it a couple more shots. Then start the car up. Screw the spark plug back in. Start it up. Run it at high idle for just a few minutes. We're going to use WD-40 to soften the carbon, and we're going to use the heat to further soften the carbon, and then you're going to kind of work it out. A little bit open or a little bit out, a little bit close. A little bit out, a little bit more out, close. You're going to kind of work it out and clean that spark plug thread. It's going to deposit some of that carbon in the cylinder. It'll blow out the tailpipe first time you start it. But that's how we get them out. Now, in a worst-case scenario, we'll bring the piston up to top dead center, and we'll fill the cylinder. We know it's top dead center. The valves are closed. We'll fill the cylinder full of some kind of a solvent or some kind of a carbon degreaser or even sometimes just engine oil. And just bring it up and then just manually roll the motor up to top dead center where we're filling that whole cavity with oil, and we let it sit all night long. And that oil will soften the carbon, and then it'll come out. But don't muscle it, Marty, because you'll wreck the threads on it and you'll be really sorry.
Right, yeah, that's why I stopped.
Alrighty, and then next time do them about 75,000 miles, and then you don't have to worry about this kind of thing. You'd be surprised, Marty, how many of them literally we have to jackhammer out of the car. It's just one of those things where if you can't get it out any other way, then you're going to jackhammer it out, and hopefully you don't mess the threads up too bad, and you can still screw a spark plug in there, and the customer knows that there's a heck of a risk. So
right.
You're a good example of that, and thank you for calling.
All right, thanks.
Alrighty. We still got open line, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. So anyway, the Jeep goes away, and then here's the continuing saga on my phone system. The phone company, I pay for 3 megabytes of internet access, or for that kind of speed. And we originally had 1 megabyte of speed, and we were unhappy with the time it took to get on the internet and change a page, so we upped it to 3. So for the last 6 or 8 months, we've had a tough time with our phone company, and it's not one of the big ones. It's one of the ones that buys time from the big one. And they keep telling us it's this A, or it's this B, or it's this C. And I say to them, okay, if that's the case, just send a technician out and fix it. And if it's something I should have done, I'll pay it for it. No, we can't do that. Folks, the reason I share this with you is not to beat up on my phone company. That's the reason why I'm not even telling you who they are. I'm sharing it because you can't trust people who say that. You can't trust your neighbor that says, I know exactly, it's a doggone fuel pump. Okay, can you replace it? No.
2 minutes.
What do you mean, no? What, can you fix it? No. Well, then how do you know it's bad? I mean, all of us can guess. They've told me my firewall's bad. They told me I'm not in full duplex. They told me this. They told me that. They sent a technician out last week. He's actually made it worse. But he agrees that all the things they told me are not the problem. And he's Microsoft certified. So I told him, you've got me chasing my tail. I'm spending money on your guesses. You're wrong, and I'm spending money. So I'm going to exercise my option to cancel the contract because you're not providing me the service I'm paying for. And I'm not going to guess anymore. This is yours to fix now. I've been trying for 6 months. Your gurus in Washington, in Seattle, Washington, tell me, try this. I try this. Doesn't work. So that's kind of, and I'm a little upset. But that's the idea, is you can't go into a shop and he says, oh, yeah, this is the mass airflow sensor.
Okay. 1 minute.
If you're going to fix it, let's fix it. No, we don't do mass airflow sensors. You can't believe him. He's not telling you the truth. You got to be able to fix it and explain the repair and have confidence in your ability. But when they're guessing, they don't do that kind of work. You need to know that. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. If you'd like to call us, you can. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Mark's brand new customer last week, who made it into the lobby and was in the lobby for about 5 minutes, grabbed his keys, and stormed out. I'm going to tell you the story as neutral as I can, and you can decide whether or not. I want you to be me. I want you to think about it from a point of view as the owner. So I want to know what you'd do under the circumstances if you were the owner of the shop. But anyway, this doesn't happen very often. In most of our industry, it doesn't happen very often, but brand new and gone. We'll be back right after this.
DMV Auto is family-owned and operated and has been...
That's a great tease.
...honest, yeah. Quality work at a fair price since 19...
Well, welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and I'm here at your service. So we're going to talk about your car question, your car problem, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Phoenix Body Works. Greg May, the owner, will be your advocate if you have an insurance claim. You see, you have the right by Arizona law to take your car to any body shop, and I suggest you pick the body shop because you need an advocate. You need someone on your side, and if you pick the wrong body shop, then that body shop may dance to the music of the insurance company, and you're going to be able to play second fiddle. Phoenix Body Works is hassle-free, insurance company-friendly. They know how to work with insurance companies. They're going to make sure your car's put back together the right way, on time, and at the affordable price with quality parts. That's important. It's important to repair your car to its pre-accident condition. Put me back the way you found me. I'm recommending Phoenix Body Works for several years, and I've heard nothing but excellent things from its customers. I'm proud to have him on my best car repair shops list. Phoenix Body Works is located at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road. 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road. That's Phoenix Body Works. Let's go to Bob real quick, and then I'm going to tell you my story. Bob, you've been holding, and I appreciate that. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. I have an 02 Chevy Blazer with 144,000 miles, and I had a brake job done. They just replaced the pads and turned the rotors.
Okay.
And I asked them to change the brake fluid, you know, to flush the brake fluid.
Uh-huh.
And he said he didn't recommend that because he said with that many miles, it could cause more problems than just leaving the old fluid in.
Okay. This is something that comes up a lot. Here, let me tell you the truth. And there is some merit associated with what he's saying. He looks at the brake fluid, and first of all, it looks like coffee. He sticks his finger down in the bottom of the master cylinder, and there's a half an inch of what we call mud. It's dirt mixed with brake fluid. It's black. It's thick. Not as thick as honey, but it's thick. He's saying to himself, I'm going to cause a problem. And if you have ABS, he's scared to death of that $3,000 control module or the pump. So he's saying to himself, I don't want no part of this, because there is at least a 50-50 chance when I flush this that we're going to cause a problem, one of the wheel cylinders, one of the calipers, the proportioning valve, the master cylinder, the ABS pump. I don't want that risk. So for $120, I don't want the risk. Here's what you can do. Are you pretty handy yourself?
Yeah, I did that thing with the turkey baster. I sucked out and I poured in new, and then I could only find one bleeder on the front. I cracked open one bleeder. Is there a bleeder on each wheel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you what. Sometimes they'll mount a caliper backwards. The bleeder should be at the bottom of the caliper. Sometimes they're at the top when somebody doesn't put them on right, and this is no big deal. Now, if you're going to bleed them by pressure, you actually want the bleeder on the top because the air floats to the top and we want to get the air out. But if you're going to do a gravity bleed, they're better on the bottom. It just depends. But if you get the turkey baster out and you clean up the master real good, and then you fill it full of fluid, turn that quart container upside down on the master, and then you open up all four bleeders and just kind of walk away. But keep an eye on the fluid. Don't let it run dry.
And
that'll do it. You're not going to agitate a lot of the trash that's inside both front calipers and the two wheel cylinders, but you're going to put new brake fluid in it, and that's probably not going to hurt it.
Thanks.
All righty.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Bob. Okay, so customer writes me an email and tells me basically this. I've got a coolant leak, and it only happens when I let my vehicle sit in the garage for a couple of days. It doesn't happen daily. But then here's a picture of the coolant leak, and it's at the back of the motor, and I can't find anybody to tell me what it is. And I've taken it to other shops, and they can't find it. And I want to know where the leak is, you know, what's causing this leak. So I write back to him, and I say, first of all, you got the cart before the horse. It's not important to know anything except one thing. Where's the leak coming from? Because I can't answer the second question, why, until I find out what. So don't put the why in front of the what. Do the what first. So what needs to happen is that somebody needs to pressure test that cooling system a couple pounds over cap pressure. Take it into a pressure zone. It hasn't been in a while. They need to get some mirrors. They need to look at the back of the intake. They need to pull the converter cover off.
We've got caller Roger.
They need to do a little bit of work to expose the back of the engine area. It could be an intake manifold. It could be a freeze plug on one of the back of the heads. It could be a freeze plug underneath the bell housing. It could be one of the heater hoses. It could be leaking out of the heater core. It could be a connection. Whatever. You're describing this world-class nightmare as something we deal with every day. She said, I'm going to bring it in. So I sent an email to everybody. Said he's coming in. So just before he comes in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, one of my technicians severely cuts his finger. Now, folks, you won't believe this, but my truck's on loan. My brother has it. All of our rental cars are out. Or all of our shop cars are out. I'm not using an employee's car for business. And the only thing I've got left is a rental car. So I put the employee and another employee in the rental car, go to the hospital. What I don't know is 15 minutes later, this guy's coming in for a rental car. So he comes in, and my daughter explains to him that even though we reserved you a rental car, we had to use the rental car. Because my dad doesn't have a vehicle here. I don't have a vehicle here. My mom isn't here. She's got the only loose vehicle we've got. We're not taking it. She says, "Here's they're going to be back in 45 minutes. You can wait for it if you want. Or I'll take you up to Enterprise." And the guy grabs his keys and says some words you wouldn't hear in church, and he leaves. So then he writes me back and he says to me, I'm going to put the cart before the horse. I'm not going to listen to anything you say, and if this is how you treat new customers, then I don't want any part of you. Now, I told you before that I oftentimes say to myself, do I want to keep you? But what bothered me the most about the conversation with this gentleman, and I reflected it back to him, I said, your first email tells me that you don't really get along with anybody, and that you beat up, so to speak. You didn't talk nicely about many of the other shops. So if you don't get along with them and you don't get along with me, is it possible you're the problem? That's a day in my life, okay? That's just a day in my life. Roger, what can we do for you, buddy?
Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
Good, I'm calling from Payson.
Okay.
I'm quite a ways away from you. I have a motorhome. It's a 40-foot coach. And I'm not sure whether I'm going to keep it or sell it. Probably sell it because of the fuel prices. But anyway, I need to find a place down in the valley. I'll probably have to have a one-out towed down there because it hadn't been started in quite some time. Because I've been through a lot of illness and haven't been able to do much of anything myself. And but anyway, I need to find a place that I can totally trust for to look at the Detroit diesel okay. 475 horse okay. engine, check it out, check the coolant, go through everything basically from head to toe, and also I'd like to have the name, if possible, of a good paint shop.
Okay.
If I decide to have it painted.
Do you have email by the chance, by way?
Trying to set it up.
Okay. All right. I'm going to put you on hold because I'm up against a break, and I'll talk to you on the other side. So just hang on, or you can hang up and just listen to the radio because that's what I'm going to do. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are open. You're welcome to call. Well, welcome back, everybody. Thank you for spending your Saturday with me. It's always a lot of fun, and as you can tell, I probably get the best end of the deal because I have a lot of fun as well. 602-508-0960. We were talking to Roger, who's up in Payson. And by the way, Roger, I have a ranch. We work horses up there as well. I'm familiar with the place, and I really love that place. It's the only place in Arizona that I know of that will consistently have a 50-degree swing every day from high to low. And when you go there and it's 90 and then it's 40 at night, ooh la la, it's a great place. But anyway, Roger, you can't afford to tow that 40-foot motorhome to Phoenix. It'll cost you $500, $1,000. There's no question it'll cost you a whole lot of money. You really need to get it running up there. There's a couple of things you can do. The two places I trust up in Payson is the Napa store and the CarQuest store, and I would go in and talk to them and find out who they use for diesel stuff. Now, I have the name of a guy, but I don't have it with me. I have the name of a guy who I called not too long ago to fix one of my diesel tractors, and I really like him. And I think his last name is Hollyhock, but if you will call me and write this down, I'm going to give you a minute to get a pencil and paper. If you'll call me, I'll give you his phone number. And he may take that diesel on and get it running for you, which is what you got to do. Once you get it running, there's a couple of shops up in Payson that we're going to check the tires, check the fluids, to make sure you get to the valley. Then you're going to drive it down here and you're going to go to Southwest Diesel. Hopefully you have your pencil by now. My phone number, Monday through Friday, is 480-598-1234. 480-598-1234. You're going to drive it to Southwest Diesel and Electrical, 27th Avenue in McDowell. If it's running good and you get the running done, then the closest guy to you would be Kelly Clark up north. And that's where you would go for the rest of the stuff. The rest of the stuff is give me a list, but don't spend more than $100 or $200. Give me a list of stuff it needs. While it's down here in the valley, you probably want to put it in some places for sale. And then maybe you can have those people stop by there at Kelly's and look at it. Maybe somebody will buy it. Or maybe they'll hire somebody to put a complete list together and then they'll use that to negotiate a lower price from you. But if you're going to sell it, don't go to a lot of expense. Let the next owner fix some of the small stuff. But if you're going to use it, then obviously that's a different kind of inspection. That's a level up. So Southwest Diesel, for the engine stuff, if you end up towing it down here anyway. But Kelly Clark would work well for the cosmetic stuff. Look at my brakes. Look at my wheel bearings. Look at my fluids. Look at my filters. Make sure the air runs. Make sure the refrigerator runs. And Camping World would be a good, another good place because they do that primarily all the time. So those are the things that I think you should do. But again, my phone number Monday through Friday, 480-598-1234. And call me and I'll give you that diesel guy's name and you can call him up and see if he can help you. I'm going to check real quick here because I got my phone right here. My wife actually gave it to me today. See, that's what happens is most of the time when it comes to my phone, my wife keeps it from me. But on the other hand, today I got it back and I'm just going to look real quick here and see if I can find that guy's name. And no, you'll have to call me. All righty, we're going to go to Bill. Bill, you're up next. How can I help you today?
Well, I just wanted to call in and tell you that I had a wonderful experience with one of the outfits that you suggested.
Okay.
It was Tony's Auto.
Good.
On Thomas, I guess, in about 50th or 60th Street, something like that.
56th and Thomas, northeast corner.
Yep. And I'm telling you, after I had headed to two other shops, I have a 207 Mercury.
Uh-huh.
And after I'd taken it to another shop, they made it even worse than what it was. And I took it into Tony's, and within a day, I had my car back, and it runs like it did when it was new.
Okay. Did you happen to deal with any ladies at Tony's?
One lady, yeah.
Kathleen or Catherine?
Something like that, yes.
She's the big kahuna there.
Is she really?
They dance to her music. And I tell you something. What I like about her is she is just a no BS lady. Those technicians are not going to come in to her, and she says, the guy's got a drivability performance problem. The technician comes in and goes, he needs rear brakes. She's going to grab him by the shirt. She's going to pull his nose next to hers, and she's going to say, focus on what I gave it to you for. And that's what I like about her.
I'll tell you what,
tough.
That shop does the job.
Yep, thank you. Thank you, that's great to hear, and thank you for taking the time to tell me. I really appreciate that. You've made my day. All right, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair, another great shop. He's a full-service, family-owned operation, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Larry Harker's Auto is a trusted name for quality, affordable automotive service, maintenance. If you live anywhere west of I-17, between I-17 and the 101, south of Indian School, and you don't have a shop, this is the guy you should use, Larry Harker's Auto. South of Indian School, between the 17 and the 101, he holds that area down perfectly. We'll be right back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. We still got lines open. If you'd like to call, you have a car question, you can use your husband's name, you can deepen your voice, or you can just flat out tell me you're Richard Nixon. I don't care. But if you got a car question and you're a little embarrassed, then, hey, I'll make it easy for you. My name is Mark Salem, and this portion is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. They have years of experience working on all kinds of domestic, import, gas, diesel. Kurtz is at I-17 and Bell Road in Phoenix. They've been open since 1992, and they've been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau. They're located again at I-17 and Bell, Kurtz Auto Repair. And if you give them a try, you'll understand why I recommend them to our customers. All righty, Jay.
I'm a very bad man.
Dad, is that you?
I'm a very bad man.
Yep, that's... Speaking of my dad, have you ever heard the response that you don't mess with a guy who buys ink by the barrel? You don't mess with a guy who buys ink by the barrel. That was an old-time saying that you didn't ever mess with the editor of the newspaper because he buys ink by the barrel. So I want to tell you, I have two guys out there in my family that are telling everybody that they're my brothers. And they aren't my brothers. Ed Salem, a retired Phoenix policeman. That's my dad. Okay, those of you that think he's my older brother, he's not. He's my dad. The other guy, Ralph Salem, that's my grandpa. Now, Ralph worked at the Valley National Bank for like 472 years. And he, according to him, he's loaned $16 trillion. John, Ed Salem, worked at the Phoenix Police Department. I think he worked the jail. I'm not quite sure. But John or Ed is my dad, and then Ralph is my grandfather. Now they're telling everybody we're brothers, and that's just not true. That's called getting even, folks. That's called getting even. When it comes to car repair, let me offer you this. I want to offer you a question you should use no matter who the shop is. This is a question good for independent car repair shops, specialty shops, chain stores, my shop, any of my best car repair shop. Each and every one of you recognizes this scenario. You take your car in and you've got something wrong up front. You got a coolant leak, an oil leak, and the shop calls you back and gives you a laundry list of things you need. First of all, I want you to understand that it's in your best interest to refocus the shop. I'm not willing to address any of these other problems that you found until you satisfactorily and successfully fix the problem I brought it in. So do you have an estimate for that? No, I don't. Okay, why don't you just work on that oil leak? Try to find out where it is and call me with an estimate. And I would also like you to write down on my work order all these other things I need. Would you put a out-the-door price, or you know, how much would I have to write my check for price? And then put your name there and your phone number so I know who to call back. You see, if they're playing games with you, they're not going to write it down. And they sure as heck ain't going to give you their name and phone number. So that keeps you safe. Now, let's say that they call you back and they say, I got the motor running just fine, but you need some front shock absorbers. Oh boy, and those shock absorbers are kind of expensive. They're $800. That's total price. That's two shock absorbers installed, alignment, taxes, and everything. Here's the question. What symptoms are you going to fix that I already have? What symptoms? And folks, that's a really hard question if you're trying to buffalo somebody into something. Now, you don't even have to know what the symptoms are. He does, though, or she does. So they have to say, well, first of all, your front tires are cupping. And you said, I haven't noticed that, but I'll look. What else? Well, it should bounce 2, 3, 4 times when you go over a curb or a speed bump. It shouldn't bounce once and settle. It goes bounce, up, down, down, down. I haven't noticed that either. Well, and then there's some bushings that are bad on your shock absorbers, and there should be a clunk. I haven't noticed that either. You see where I'm going with this? You don't have to be mechanical in nature. And you know, guys, they won't ever do this because they're smarter than we are. Women will. And I've often said, I'd rather take all women. I'd rather have all women customers. Because inevitably, Monday mornings, I got a lobby full of people. I got some guy walks in, and he always has leather loafers and silk socks. And he's got a suit on. Something I've never worn in my life, but he's got a suit on. So he comes in, and he proceeds to tell the pretty young lady at the front counter, Nancy, my daughter, Andy, whoever, my wife, Renee, he proceeds to tell him how many Jaguar motors he's rebuilt, and he proceeds to tell him how to fix his car. He's never right. So now we have a form that he has to sign that says, I am dictating the repair, and I'm not going to hold Salem Boys any responsible for the success of the repair because I'm dictating the process. So guys get up there, and they won't tell us like women. Here's a guy. It just dies every time I come off. I get off the freeway, I get to the first light, and it just dies. Okay, well, does it start right up? Sometimes. I'm just thinking it's probably a fuel problem. You just look at the fuel system. Well, no, 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 give me more symptoms. No, you just dies. That's all I can say. You know, just get up there and dies. I look at the fuel system. Now, this is a woman. I'm getting off the freeway, and just before I stop, it's like I'm in fourth gear, but I haven't pushed the clutch in. You know how the car would go buck, 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 buck? Because you're stopping, but you didn't push the clutch in. Now, I'll put it in neutral, and I'll start it, and the motor will run fine. But the minute I put it in drive, it dies. And so I do that 2 or 3 or 4 times. And each time, it dies. So this time I decide I'm going to give it a little gas. So I put it in neutral, I get it running, run, and then I slam it into drive and give it gas at the same time, and all of a sudden something pops and the car takes off and it's fine for 2 days. Now, the guy's got us chasing our tail checking the fuel system, but the woman has just diagnosed her own car. She's got a torque converter solenoid on her front-wheel drive GM car that's sticking. She just saved herself $150 worth of diagnostic. She described the perfect scenario. She told us all the symptoms. She gave us everything. And she didn't tell us how to fix the car. So the guy, we're going to play with him, not on purpose, but we're going to do what he says, go to the fuel system first, but really we're not going to fix it. On the woman's car, the shop may very well walk outside, unplug the torque converter plug, only we know where it's at. And we say, you know what, drive it this way. Are you sure that it happens? Oh, it happens every afternoon. Okay, good. I'm going to disconnect this plug. It's going to change the shift pattern just a little bit, but tell me if it happens for the next 2 or 3 days. 3 days later, she calls back and says, never happened. Say, okay, the repair is $212. Out the door. I'm going to have to replace the torque converter's clutch solenoid in your transmission. Okay, thank you. Guaranteed to fix it? Well, I just disconnected it, and you said it's fine. How about this? If you want to be sure, bring it by, let me reconnect it, and let's see if it happens tomorrow. She calls back, and she says, I want to make an appointment for Thursday. You're exactly right. You said when it went away, and you said when it was coming back, and you are right. So whatever your diagnosis is right. That's how you're supposed to be. I remember one time a lady came in, and she said, Mark, I want you to service the air, I want you to tune up the car and align it. And I says, okay, can you tell me what the symptoms are? Because a lot of people want the car aligned for vibrations, which is not the appropriate path. A lot of people want the car aligned because they've got abnormal tire wear, which could be a lot of things. So we'd rather look at the tire wear and then tell you what needs to be repaired. There's a lot of things, but especially vibrations. They have a vibration, they want it aligned. How come we're aligning it, ma'am? Because my husband said to. Say no more. Why am I tuning it up? Because my husband said to. Okie dokie. Well, you know the end of this story. He comes and picks it up later that afternoon. It's $136. He leaves and he's mad when he comes back. And he's not gone long. But I'm waiting for him at the front counter. He says, you didn't fix my car. And I says, sir, your wife didn't tell us to fix your car. She said, you said, to tune it up and to align the front end. And I said, so we did what you told us to do. We didn't even know there was a problem you were chasing, although we suspected it. I said, but let's go take a ride. So we're driving down the road, and he goes, feel that? Feel that? That's a miss. And I says, no, it isn't. I says, you want me to make that go away? And he goes, yeah. So I shut the air conditioning off. I said, the compressor's cycling. It goes on and off, so the car's going down the road like this. So it's going high and low because the air conditioning compressor is cycling on and off because it's low in refrigerant. Okay, Mr. Smarty Pants, what about the vibration? And I said, well, the vibration is the right rear tire right underneath my butt because that's the vibration you're talking about. You had me working on the wrong end of the car. You wanted me to align the front end, but really your problem is in the back end. Can't you feel that through the seat of your pants? I mean, look at it. It's shaking my seat. It's shaking the seat of your pants. If it's on the front end, if the vibration's on the front end, it'll shake the steering wheel. But there's no movement of your steering wheel, left or right or up or down. So we go back. We rack it up. He's got his tread separation on the right rear tire. And I add a pound of Freon to it. And I said, if you promise never again to tell me how to fix your car, I'll no charge both of these. I'm going to put your spare on for you anyway, but I'll put a pound of Freon in it and let you go. So he says, I promise. I says, no, I need better than that. Raise your right hand. Eddie, swear him in. I didn't do that, but get the point. The point, ladies, is when your husband sends you to the repair shop and tells you what to need, unless it's a simple, like an oil change or something, you have to say to him, why? What symptoms should I give him in addition to? Because it sounds better this way. I have a bad vibration. My husband seems to think an alignment will take care of it. What will you charge me to diagnose the vibration? The answer might be $25. You know what? I'd rather do that because this way, if you fix something that doesn't fix the vibration, I have recourse. I can say to you, Mark, not only did you misdiagnose it, but you misrepaired it. You repaired something that didn't fix my vibration. So for $25, the risk and reward teeter-totter is now on the customer side. So that's how it works. That's how it works. It's just like the doctor. We have customers that say, you know, I can buy it on the internet, this part, for half as much as you charge me. That's true, you can. But it doesn't say what brand it is and what happens if it goes bad. Are you going to call this guy in New Jersey and say, hey, this part went bad? And he's going to say, do you have your receipt? And you say, no. and you're going to have to fight with him. Meanwhile, your car's out of service for 3 days while he ships you an alternator or air compressor. And then we have people that come in and tell us that the internet said that this is what's wrong with their car. I queried a code the other day, and I promise you this is the truth. I queried the code. I just put P110, I think it was, or something like that. And there had to have been 30 different repairs on at least 10 different websites. And in reality, what was causing this code was the speedometer cable needed to be lubed and not one. See, there's a speed sensor on the speedometer code. And so as the speedometer cable wads up and then releases, wads up and releases, the speed looks like this to the computer. 50, 35, 50, 36, 50, 51, 52, 38, 51. So the speedometer cable's binding and then releasing in the housing. But nobody
2 minutes
said, why don't you pull the speedometer cable out and grease it? Can you believe that? And that's what this car needed. The other day we had a customer come in and had spent $2,700 guessing. And I told him, I don't really want to fix your car because you got a big problem with the other shop. Because you paid him $2,700 to fix your car and it ain't fixed. And I really don't have the time to ride my white horse and slay your dragons, because the first thing that's going to happen is we'll fix it and you're going to go back over there and that guy's going to be at my door yelling at me. So I'd prefer not to be involved in that. And actually, it's always bad for me to be involved on those kinds of things. Alrighty, my email address, if you ever have a question, you can email me 24 hours a day. And my email address is easy to remember. First of all, my website is marksalem.com. Salem like the cigarette. marksalem.com. But if you add Mark in front of that and an at sign, that's me. mark@marksalem.com. And marksalem.com has FAQs. I think there's 60 or 70 of them on there. So if you have a problem, you can go to the FAQs first. They're easy to determine, and there's a search feature on them too. So there's all kinds of available information on our website, not to mention a list of good shops. Now, those of you that have a shop, you should stay there. If you have a nice relationship with your auto repair shop, I'm not trying to drag you away from that. But those of you that don't have that relationship, I'd appreciate you trying mine. Plus, I've got a guarantee on mine that says if you're not happy and the Better Business Bureau tells the shop to make a refund or fix your car and the shop doesn't, I will. Up to $5,000. So I'm putting my money where my mouth is. And folks, in the last 18 years, I haven't spent a dime. You know why? Because these people know how to fix cars. It's that simple. These people know how to fix cars. See you next Saturday here at 10 o'clock on 960 AM. And don't forget, if you want, you can email me.